Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. No, I think it's sufficient. I can't eat it out. No, it's really good. It's I'm fine, thank you. Once when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was on a journey to one village, he was only accompanied by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it is from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur where we have heard this particular pastime, which is less known and which I first heard from His Holiness Gaur Govinda Maharaj. They had walked on foot and by boat, first by boat and then by boat, for several hours, and they were now approaching the village where there was a very important temple of associated with Gauranga Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So the sun was setting and they needed to have a place where they could sleep, and they saw a very sturdy, well-built temple which was abundant. I thought we can spread out our blankets there. The next morning we will find, we will take our bath in the little river before the temple. So they went into the temple and they were spreading their blankets, and father and son started to go into the land of dreamless sleep. Then all of a sudden a huge noise erupted in the temple. There was the sound of yelling and of screaming, but no one was there who was yelling and who was screaming. Then the next thing which they noticed, it bricks started to fly. Through the temple, and it became really scary, really scary. And then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he noticed this must be a ghost, a very powerful ghost. They were screaming and the bricks were flying. It was really becoming very dangerous. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who had slept up to this time, got up with a start, took his japa mala and started to chant. And as he was chanting, they could see how in the corner a ghost started to slowly materialize. He had a fluorescent light. He had a dhoti on. And he went to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and he said, "Thank you so much. It was me who gave you this disturbance. But now, because I have heard your chanting, I am delivered from the curse." And he went away, and the yelling had stopped already, and no more bricks were flying. It was safe. The next morning, after they had taken their shower, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur took their blankets and everything, and they went into the temple, into the village. Now on the way they were met by village people who were early up to go to the fields and work on the fields, and the village people humbly stopped Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Bhaktisiddhanta and said, where have you come from? This is such a distant village. How have you come so early in the morning? No, we were sleeping here. Sleeping? Where did you sleep? And they pointed to the temple. That Vinayamas went and looked at them as if they were supernatural beings, which they were. And they said, "What? You slept in this temple? But it is impossible to sleep because it is ghostly haunted." And then they said, "We have a question. You look like sadhus. How can it be so ghostly haunted?" The priest who was taking care of the temple was a priest who was chanting every day on his Japamala Nam Prabhu. And it is this very priest who became a Brahmana ghost. They are the most heavy ones. Because you can't really have a counter spell against Brahmana ghosts. They know the spells better than you. So they often become more powerful as you chant the Nrisimha mantra. They are terrible. You know, they somehow absorb the chanting by their mystical power, and somehow, really, as we say in Germany, no herb is good enough to drive such a ghost. You know, they are really heavy. I hope he has not come. the villagers wanted to know. He was chanting, but still he had come into such an unfortunate state that he ruled the temple and gave trouble to everyone who passed it in the night, and then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, yes, he was chanting, but two things. He was chanting without thinking about his relationship to Krishna, and therefore he only chanted the shadow of the name. Then he explained that when we chant, we are addressing the Lord, like Achyuta Gopi today very nicely expressed, Radhe Govinda and Radhe Radhe. It's an address. It is meant to be heard by the person whom we are calling. It's really the chanting, proper chanting, must be done. It's called in Sanskrit with sambandha, a feeling of bond, a feeling of connection, a feeling of making contact or desperate cry to enter the presence of the beloved deity for whose name we chant. And only then it's no longer a shadow chanting. Now I want to ask you a question. Today I have heard that we will eat prasadam. Kantati has somehow taken her merciful nature and cooked prasadam. Imagine we would put a strong light on the prasadam, and the prasadam would make a shadow, and Akantati would say, for economic reasons, I request you to be satisfied with the shadow. We would find it mildly torturous. We would not be totally grateful. Because no one can be satisfied with a shadow. We need the substance. So when we chant, and we don't really make a relationship, or we don't chant with Namabhasa, then Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took this theme and explained it more deeper in detail in the Harinam Chintamani, which is like a guidebook for chanting. If we chant, and we chant without Sambandha Gyan, without that bond, that connection, that contact, that bonding, I think, is a good English word. Samband, the word band explains it so nice. Then we will chant only the shadow of the name. And when we chant the shadow of the holy name, we will be as unsatisfied as in our example where the host serves us the shadow of a meal, not the real meal. We will not be satisfied. And what this means is, when we are not satisfied with Krishna consciousness, we will try to look for gratification and satisfaction somewhere else, and we will maintain habits lifestyle where we are not really we're not in connection, and we will make offenses and so on. So this Brahmin priest is a good example. He was there, the villagers said he was there in the temple, he was serving Chanamrita and doing these things, but he often would be angry, you know, offensive towards the pilgrims who would come, because he didn't feel the satisfaction of chanting. He was very easily irritated, and why was he not feeling the satisfaction in chanting? Because he didn't chant with this feeling of great sambandha. So I requested Achyuta Gopi to chant today on our little get together, because I know that there's something in the children who are born from devotee parents, which is a very natural feeling of Krishna consciousness, very uncomplicated feeling of we have a relationship, Krishna, you are my, and Radharani, you are my all and everything. Sometimes we feel sad when we think of this relationship, because we somehow feel I am at the moment in difficult circumstances, and I would like to give more attention into this relationship, but I'm in adverse circumstances, and therefore we pray, O King of the country of love, O Queen of the country of love, please invest in my case. You do the step so that I'm more attentive to this relationship. We feel like this. When you are in a relationship, sometimes there are feelings of being elated and grateful, but sometimes you feel there is room for me to improve in this relationship and be more attentive to the person I'm trying to relate to. We feel like this. And so I want to encourage you, because I feel you have this element that you consciously place your heart into your hands and just offer it in a gesture of you know, looking for shelter and just thinking of that relationship. You know, when we once were chanting together, we had we were chanting in Kostuba, it's actually Eddie Stern's yoga place, and I remember we had chanted, Gauravani has chanted, so Sachi Devi from India, who had chanted Indian, you know, I don't mean it to sound ridiculous, but it's Indian, you know. And then you had also chanted, and then Eddie just came after me, said, "These last devotees who sang last or the middle, I don't know where you chanted, they really have the soul of chanting." And I believe it, the soul of chanting is really addressing Radha and Krishna, but that feeling, we have the feeling of having a relationship. And then once Giriraj Maharaj was in India traveling with Srila Prabhupada and said, "Prabhupada, how exactly should we chant?" And Prabhupada, in his very fatherly way, wanting to make it crystal clear, you know, he said, "You chant and you address Radha and Krishna just like you now address me. You talk to, I'm here, you are there, and you talk to me, you know." So that is chanting with sambandha, this understanding. You please address me. And I feel that is something we can do. I wanted to read to you a prayer of Bhaktivinoda Thakur before we take there. There is this songbook, these collections, which I really can only recommend. There are four songbooks, and one is Kalyana Kalpataru. Kalyana means auspicious, and Kalpataru is a wish-fulfilling tree. Originally, this wish-fulfilling tree is in Goloka Vrindavan, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his kirtan, has brought this wish-fulfilling tree in this world, and we all can come to this tree and say, "I wish an apple." Maybe Adidev would say, "I would wish a new photographic device which can just photograph it all," you know, or whatever we wish. And what this means is that when you come to Mahaprabhu's movement, you will find now in this world the wish-fulfilling tree, and everything you desire from this tree can be fulfilled. So in the last, in one of the last sections of the song, there is a very nice song where Bhaktivinoda Thakur expresses or talks to his mind to give up all other subjects and just take shelter in Krishna. And it's such a beautiful song that I would like to read the English translation to you. Are you into this? It sounds a little intense. "When will my foolish mind give up all other subjects of meditation and find respite at the lotus feet of Sri Krishna?" You know, when will I stop thinking about all these many things, you know, and when will I finally go with my mind and think of the lotus feet of Krishna? "When will I consider myself to be a beggar and thus think that there is no one more insignificant than me?" You know, he knows. "You need to bow down, mister. Become a beggar. When will I offer my obeisances to everyone, including the dog eaters, and earnestly beg from them devotion to Krishna? Oh, and when will I finally have compassion for all living entities? When I look around and see how distressed these fallen souls around me are, when will tears start flowing from my eyes?" You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says he wants to escape the prison of self-absorption. You know, he wants to care for others. I will see this world is what it is, miserable place, and I will go to Vrindavan. While shedding incessant tears, I will take shelter of the Vaishnavas who reside there. So he says he wants to take shelter with the Vaishnavas, and then he says what he exactly means, what he... I will fold my hands before the Brajavasis and eagerly inquire from them about the places of the Lord's pastimes. I will say, O Brajavasis, please have mercy upon me. Kindly show me the places where Lord Hari performed his pastimes. At that time, a kind-hearted Brajavasi will take me on a tour of the forests of Vrindavan. My dear devotees, it's really something else when you hear a Brajavasi talk about Krishna. And when they talk, it's just so much love and so much of what is in their heart comes over. I remember we once went to Ramgad, where there's a beautiful forest which the inhabitants keep intact. They chase away the monkeys who break leaves and branches, and it has huge trees and most beautiful cows who wander around. It really reminds you of what Vrindavan was at the time of Krishna's appearance. And there lived a god, Brajavasi. And we went there with a devotee who knew Brajbhuli. And he was very elderly and it was a little cold, so he was sitting in the sunlight to warm up his body. He was covered with a hill of blankets and he was just chanting there. A very old and ancient looking Brajavasi, and you could see he was maybe 2 more years around and then he would, as they say. So he looked at us and said, what do we want, you know? Something Krishna small, something Krishna Gada, very small, I said. So then he told just a leela, and the way he told it is that he said how once Krishna Balaram were playing with the cowherd boys, each taking the lead of one side, and Krishna's side was defeated. And then, according to the agreement, Krishna had to carry one member of the opposing party on his back. But he felt lazy that morning. So he said, today please, I'm not quite enthusiastic to carry. Then the boy said, oh, can I? Why do you break the rules of the game? No, said Krishna, he really was feeling lazy. And he said, my father is the king of Braj and I'm the prince. I don't have to carry every day. So then the boy said, he has just a little bit more cows than our parents have, so that is not accepted. Give a better reason. Oh, Krishna said, I lifted Giriraj for you, and you could go and take shelter under the rain. Said the boy, it was not because of you. Madhumanga was there, he said, my mantras, they did everything. And the other boy said, because we stole butter, it is from the butter that you got some strength. Otherwise, no chance. So they all discredited Krishna, and he really felt miserable because they were arguing so intensely with him. And finally he said, the boy said, if you don't carry, we won't play with you any longer. This was the most heavy thing. But Krishna really didn't want to carry. It was an intense case of not wanting to carry. He really didn't want to carry. So this Brijbasi is telling us that he's getting all animated, and he says how Krishna feels when they say, we won't play with you if you don't carry. And he's really sad. And then Krishna, under great pressure, he says, I don't want to carry you because I'm God. God doesn't have to carry. The boy said, proof. Krishna really regrets that he said it, you know. but now he has to give a proof. So he says, just close your eyes. They close the eyes, and then they hear a majestic voice. Oh, my little friends, open your eyes. The cowboys open the eyes, and they see on a large throne at the back, made with jewels, there Krishna sitting and turning into Narayan, forearm Narayan. They see how the great devatas come and sing, how they fan, and they feel very, very musically inclined. They want to also do. They take their flutes and they pour out their appreciation in their flute music. But then they are restricted. That's Vedic hymns, you know, not this folk music. You know, sing proper stutis. And the cowboys get disturbed, you know. There's so much majesty, and they want to be with Krishna, not with Narayan, you know. And they call out to him, Gopal, Gopal. Narayan says, close your eyes again. Open your eyes. Open the eyes, and they find themselves in Vrindavan, and Gopal is amongst them. So the cowboys talk to each other, and then they say, okay, today you don't need to carry, but tomorrow you have to carry. So, you know, as he talks, this Brijbasi is talking it, and you can say it lives in him. You can see that he sees while he's talking what he is talking about. It is, and when he says that how Krishna feels when they say they won't play with him if he doesn't carry, he just takes the side of Krishna and sees Krishna's extreme misery and tears go. So it's a wonderful experience to hear from someone who's there in Vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about this scene. This Brijbasi will say to me, please see this forest of Kadamba trees where Krishna, the son of the king of Braj, performed his rasa dance. Please see Nandagram, the residence of Nanda Maharaj. Please see the place where the calves and cowherd boys were kidnapped. And he talks about different pastimes. And in this way, with the help of the Brajvasis, I will see the places of the Lord's pastimes in Vrindavan with my thirsty eyes. So now he has described two things. He wishes to be compassionate to the misery, to the people who are overwhelmed by misery, he wants to chant in that compassionate mood. And then in great heartbreak, he wants to seek out his Lord in Vrindavan. So he goes there and he takes the guidance of the residents, who will tell him, here's the place where this pastime happened. This is that place where the demon Bakasura was killed, and so on. And he will see the pastimes. And then he describes the third section. Something happens. Kabuva Jamuna Tira Shuni Vangsi Dvani Abashaya Labha. Then all of a sudden I will hear with these ears the sound of the flute on the bank of the river Jamuna, and thus fall unconscious onto the ground. You know, when you first see Krishna or have Krishna contact with Krishna, you don't see him. You might see him indirectly through your ears. You hear the sound of Krishna's flute, or you hear the rustling of his garment as he walks. Sometimes when someone has fresh clothes on, and or we hear especially when the Matajis have finely starched saris and they walk, you hear the sound from the clothes. So when Krishna walks, you hear the sound from his dhoti first. Something, a wishing sound. Wishing. You hear also the tinkling of his ankle bells. Or if you don't hear first of Krishna, you will all of a sudden smell a divine fragrance. You don't yet see him. And this is just to prepare you for the darshan. It's to purify your senses, because we must have purified senses to see the Lord. So he first announces himself by the sound vibration from his either the flute or the and so on. And it's called here Vangsi Dvani. Dvani means the echo. You hear Krishna is playing the flute, but there is the echo from the trees, and this is how you hear. It's very voluminous. It's all over. The echo is all over. It's not just a long-range piercing sound. It is an engulfing sound which comes from all directions. Echo, you just hear the sound of Krishna's flute like that. Not just that it hits only from one side of the ear, but it's all around you. So the reaction is, I will fall unconscious onto the ground. It's just so sweet. At that time, the merciful Brijbasi will loudly chant the names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Gopal, Gopal, wake up! And make me drink water from the Yamuna, which he has brought in the cupped palms. You know, when someone faints, you usually sprinkle water on him, then he's alright. Then he's got again, you know. I've seen many times in congested areas where too many devotees come and they have not eaten and not slept, you know, in India. Then sometimes someone faints, and then a merciful person may just go like, just very unsentimental. And then they come out, then it's good again, they are fine. So the Brijbasi will come to the water of the Jamuna and will bring some water, sprinkle me, and so on. By hearing the holy names of Lord Hari, I will regain my consciousness. Then I am ready to continue my tour along with the Brijbasi. Oh, when will that auspicious day come, when I will wander door to door, begging for my food like a bee, collecting a little honey from many flowers. And he describes now the ultimate desires of a devotee. I will drink the water of the Jamuna by filling my palms. No need of energy drink. I will drink the Jamuna water. At night, I will sleep inside the courtyard of a temple. Then finally, when my time comes for giving up this material body, the aquatics in the Yamunas will have a nice feast. And then but no problem, my material body is just consumed, but in my spiritual body, I will live in a kunja, a grove, under the lotus feet of the Sakis, and eternally serve Lord Krishna, who is my only wealth. Thus prays this sinful and most insignificant person, O Sri Janava Devi, please bestow mercy on me at this time. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had taken shelter at the lotus feet of the wife of Lord Nityananda, Sri Janava Devi. And there's a line coming from him and from her, and he's in that line. He took one initiation. I thought that it's nice to hear such ultimate desires. Let us not take our stay in New York too serious. We want to go to Vrindavan. Our wealth is there. And we want to think of these ultimate songs. There is another song which I want to end with. It's very unsentimental. It's very unpoetic, called Song 27. He's describing that in his spiritual body, in his spiritual meditation, he hears the sound of Krishna's flute, and he associates it immediately with the beautiful picture of Krishna. And then comes a time when he's ready, and he actually starts to run towards that sound. He wants to go very close. You know, up to now we have heard only indirect the music from Krishna, the sound, the fragrance of Krishna. But now he says, I, whose heart was already attached to Krishna and who had already manifested the symptoms of madness, good madness, ran with the gopis. He describes a scene. He's here in this world, but he remembers the scene where in his spiritual body he had gone for Korila Abhishek. Not Abhishek, Abhisa. Abhisa means a loving journey. It can mean a journey of love, means you're pulled by the feelings for the beloved, and you move towards that beloved. I mean, some of you are grihastas and remember when they were in an Abhisa, on a love journey. They very timidly and shakingly went and finally found the ringing, ring, ring, and then they were sweating in their palms. What if I'm rejected? You know. So he also is now on that journey to Krishna. He describes what happened. I entered the groves of Vrindavan and made an appointment with my beloved. I did not care for any prohibition, Nor did I care for the countless household duties which I left behind. Nor did I consider whether this was religious or irreligious. No! I went straight to the banks of the Yamuna, and there I spoke with the gopis. I inquired from them, "Where is my beloved Lord?" I was timid. As I entered the forest, all of a sudden I got confidence. I gave up my fear and went towards the direction from where the sound of that flute was coming. He's coming now. Just as a river forcefully flows towards the ocean, you know, here we can see the Hudson without any shyness, the Hudson River and the East River. We were crossing the East River today. Flowing towards the ocean, just as a river forcefully flows towards the ocean, a chaste woman who's full of loving sentiment very quickly went to the Nikunja groves and met Krishna. There she fully surrendered herself to him. So he describes, I was going to Krishna, surrendering myself to Krishna. Then he starts all of a sudden something which I find is the outbreak of poetic Vaishnav poetry. Kena mora dubala lekani nahi sa abhisara arambija sankam panta antare. I do not know why my weak pen does not move any further. After I began to describe my appointment of love, my mind is hesitant to reveal the descriptions of meeting, enjoying pastimes and feelings of separations. In other words, he says, I want to write, but my weak pen stops. I want to explain, but it just doesn't come. And then he says, unfortunate people, you know, he knows his songbooks will be read by everyone in Bengal. So he says, unfortunate people, and in New York, unfortunate people do not understand the essential meaning of Rasa Leela, just as a hawk does not appreciate the value of a string of pearls. Desiring the welfare for such unqualified persons, I have completed my glorification of the Lord here, considering that the time for explaining more would be inappropriate. Amazing, isn't it? You can just see the poet writing and remembering how he ran towards Krishna into the grove, but what he then saw, it's too much, his weak pen stops. But I think for us it's already enough. Because this kind of description rises in us feelings of longing, and we think, when will I hear the flute indirectly? When will I start running, you know, and just don't care for anything? All my duties, no, not important. Even when my BlackBerry should ring at that time, I would not be stopped, you know. And very, very first class poetry. First class. So nice, he prays another song. Oh Gopinath, I'm the greatest fool. I do not know what is good for me. I did not understand anything about the goal of life. I'm pathetic. Oh Gopinath, but you are the most learned. I'm sure that you will find out what is beneficial for me. Please do not consider me to be a stranger. I have no other alternative for Gopinath. if you mercifully accept me as your servant, then I will be delivered from material existence. My mind is almost mad, O Gopinath, does not follow any direction, and it is practically unconscious. It is fully absorbed in material enjoyment. O Gopinath, I have finally accepted defeat. All my endeavors have been baffled. Now you are my only hope. I request you, please sit within my heart. Come there on your own strength. My heart is going everywhere, but you just go there and control my mind and heart by diverting it toward you. If you do so, I will be saved from a terrible danger. How nicely he expresses. Have we not sometimes seen that we try and try, but the mind also tries and tries, you know, to go here, there, and everywhere. But when we hear this, we don't. Out of the senses, including my mind, that is the first sense, Rishita Namiya, roll it. If you do it, you can deliver me from great danger. Nice prayer. So often we have tried on our own to be successful, to be first class. But we found out we were second class or third class. You know, isn't it? As devotees, we sometimes become desperate. How will this go on? How will it work? How will I become Krishna conscious? I'm trying to go in one direction. My mind goes in another direction. You know? And then I can't deal without my mind. And ultimately, I look for my mind. You know? Here, you feel desperate. No problem. You can pray that please you take the because you take the active role, Krishna. And I think he has done. He has done. When I heard our mantra, Govinda Prabhu, when you were in Mayapur and you wanted, and there was Gopunin time. You thought, how can I celebrate without Radha Govinda? I must go. I must come there. This means Radha Govinda has given you some good desire in the heart. It's there, some attraction is there. One devotee has said, my dear Lord, I have one question for you. If you don't want to show mercy to me, if you don't want to show yourself, why then have you given into my heart this longing? The interesting thing. What? Good in years, I always forget, but I had undergone very severe surgery and I needed to restore my health. So the devotees found a house in the mountains where I could walk regularly. I had a leg operation and I needed to walk regularly. It was a very, very nice time for me. I was in the morning, there were wild horses around where I lived. It was in Bosnia. Some our country, you will most probably not know where it is on the map. And I remember every night I would go and open my window, and there would all be the wild horses because they wanted company. And I would stand for them for 5 minutes, and then I would say, okay, you better lie down now, because I would switch out the light in my room, and then you won't find your place. Lie down. And they understood that when I would say like this, when that voice comes from that window which had light onto the horses, then they knew they had to few more minutes. So, and then that would go under the trees and make sounds, and you know, I was there, all right, boys and girls, you sleep there, I will sleep here. We are parallel sleeping, and we rested very nicely. And the morning they were already gone, they were much earlier up than me. The night they could come, because there was light from the window, and they could find everything. I remember this move that I was calling out Krishna, and somehow I was just so painful at times, and it was so slow, the recovery process, that I felt desperate. And then I received one postcard from Sweden from a very nice devotee. Devotee had written a poem. It is from Rumi, and not from Bhaktivinoda. Rumi describes this scene of longing for Krishna in these words. He said, once there was a man who was praying the whole night, Allah, Allah. Then his atheistic neighbor said, so you're talking to him? Has he come? Has he answered? And I didn't know what to answer and stopped praying and fell into a confused sleep. In the sleep he saw Paramatma, it's called a kidder in Sufi language, Paramatma. And Paramatma asked, why did you stop praying? The man said, I called him but he didn't answer. Oh, you don't know, said Paramatma. He answered, but not to your ears. He answered to your heart by putting the longing in the heart with which you pray. God talks to the heart, not to the ears. He places something in the heart, that longing. And then the poem ends. One night a man prayed, stopped praying, and then started praying again. Allah, 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 the Buddha stopped. And he understood. Have you ever heard the dogs of Vrindavan howling in the valley? The dogs started. With how these books are answered, give your life to become a lover, to become one of them, you know, the searching for the master. Thank you, people. Love them. Yes, I'm for them. Thank you.
I believe that
maybe specializing sometimes. That's all right. When we are young, it's all right. It's not a problem. The women are lovely. The boys, yes, no. Special size boys also. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur ki
jai,
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai,
Shri Shri Radha Govinda ki
jai,
Go Premanandi jai, jai Radhe, jai Shri Radhe, jai Shri Radhe. Good. Now it is the time for the hosts.
What? Shadow.